Welcome to the Not Old Better Show Fitness Friday series. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang, and this is show number 214. Today's Fitness Friday show is a little different, but still tied to health, news, and information, with emphasis on fitness for all of us. This Sunday, May 6th, the U.S. government will open nationwide enrollment for an ambitious experiment titled All of Us. The idea, and where the name All of Us comes from, is that if they can build a large enough database comparing the genetics, lifestyles, and environments of all of us and people from all walks of life, researchers hope to learn why some escape illness and others don't, and better customize ways to prevent and treat disease. Here's the headline. Wanted: a million people willing to share their DNA and 10 years of health habits, big and small, exercise or not, all for science. Dr. Francis Collins, director of the National Institutes of Health, describes his agency's All of Us research program in saying it's a national adventure that is going to transform medical care.
We're really building a fundamental base of knowledge about how humans stay healthy or get sick and what to do about it. I think the practice of medicine will be altered in profound ways.
That, of course, is Dr. Francis Collins, the director of the National Institutes of Health. Dr. Collins and his team worked with Congress, who authorized $1.4 billion over 10 years for the project All of Us. It all hinges on whether enough people around the country will sign up either online or through participating health centers. There's already interest. More than 25,000 people, including me, got early entry to the project over the past year through an invitation-only pilot test run by participating universities and health providers. Why so many? Well, the overall aim is to enroll 1 million or more volunteers and oversample communities that have been underrepresented in research to make the program the largest, most diverse resource of its kind. I asked Eric Dishman, director of All of Us, how this ambitious project came about and what makes it so unique.
We've had the great opportunity to learn from some giants in large cohort research programs, which is kind of what the All of Us research program is as well. But I'm hoping that we're going to give back to that community as well, because we are trying some bold new things that, quite frankly, are kind of unprecedented at the scale and diversity of things we're aiming for the fences in with this study. There's kind of four areas. I mean, people ask me, how are you kind of unique? And I said, the first is really the diversity of people that we're trying to bring into this large cohort program. Getting geographic diversity, people from all walks of life all around the country, is fundamental to the science that we want to be able to do, as is people with a mix of health status. So not too many people of one disease versus another, but a real wide range of people, including many of people who are healthy, as well as demographics, right? We are focused on underrepresented in biomedical research. Those age groups, those people living in rural communities, most races and ethnicities who have been kind of left behind from traditional biomedical research, pulling them in so we have new scientific data and understanding. And learning how to do a diverse cohort like that will be a learning not just for us, but all of our partners and future partners that you can imagine. The second is really participant-centeredness. And this has been done on many smaller scale studies, but never at the scale of 1 million people. We are inviting participants to sit on our governance and help decide which direction should we go in, participate in brainstorms about the science and the health conditions that matter to their communities that they want this resource to help facilitate. Not only that, but we are committed to giving information back to participants. Very few studies do this because it's hard, it's expensive, it's ethically challenging, but it's the right thing to do. You deserve the data that we capture about you. You deserve information about your own health. The other pieces of this are like innovation of very new things that haven't been done at this large before. One of those is whole genome sequencing. There are many studies starting to do whole genome sequencing, but putting in and saying, hey, we're going to do this for 1 million people, Just the data size of this creates enormous cost and challenges just to store your data in a secure and safe place. The others are kind of like, hey, there's all these mobile phones out there. We're starting to use them in some scientific studies. There's all of these apps and things. Is the data coming from your fitness wearable really useful for research? We're tackling that problem head on, and the learnings that we have will help many of those who come after us. And the last piece of this is our accessibility as a program to researchers. We are making an open resource available to everyone. All kinds of researchers, from citizen scientists to the top academic schools that you see sometimes winning Nobel Prizes. We want everybody, the more sort of brain power per problem that scientists can bring to this, the better. And opening up that data and really making it easy for lots of people to use, I believe, will help accelerate the science and the breakthroughs that we as patients are all desperately waiting for.
That, of course, is Dr. Eric Dishman, who's the director of the All of Us program. I then asked Dr. Dishman about his own experience with cancer and why the All of Us program is so important. Dr. Dishman says, "I'm alive today because of precision medicine, and I think everyone deserves that same opportunity no matter the color of your skin, your economic status, your age, or your sex or gender. In other words, it will truly take all of us."
I was diagnosed with a rare form of kidney cancer, not what you expect when you're 19. My doctors said you have 9 months to live, and clearly they were wrong. But after more than 50 rounds of chemotherapy, radiation, and immunotherapy, just a chance encounter with this guy who said, "Why don't we sequence your genome?" I didn't even know quite what that meant. They had analyzed it and came back and said, "More than 90% of everything we've ever put you on, Eric, was destined never to have worked. But the good news is, we think we ought to put you on a pancreatic cancer drug. Your pancreas is fine, but we think it'll help your kidney." 3 months go by, I did the chemo, and they came back and said, "You're cancer-free, you're eligible for a kidney transplant." That was just not that long ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and I woke up on the table, my wife would tell you, and said, "I gotta figure out how to make this precision healthcare, this precision medicine that was customized just for me based on what they learned about me from understanding my genetics. How do we do the science that helps us work for all people across all conditions, not just cancer, so that care can be customized for you, not one size fits all care that we have today?" That's the essence of what the All of Us research program is about. I'm passionate to make it happen. I'm going to bring my talents as an entrepreneur in Silicon Valley, as a patient advocate, but most importantly, as a patient myself, so that we do this the right way with input from all of you and make big impact on the world, just like the big impact on me that precision medicine really had.
Well, we are certainly looking for these breakthroughs. In fact, the phrase precision medicine is becoming more mainstream. It's an emerging approach to disease treatment and prevention that considers differences in people's lifestyles, their exercise habits, environments, and biological makeup, including genes. With eyeglasses and hearing aids, we have long had customized solutions to individual needs. More recently, treating certain types of cancer is now possible with therapies targeted to patients' DNA. Still, there are many unanswered questions leaving individuals and their families, their communities, and the healthcare community without good options. So what is precision medicine? I asked this of Dr. Dishman.
What is precision medicine? Everybody asks me this. My parents are like, "What is precision medicine that you're working on?" And the easiest way for me to describe it is, today, with good intentions, our doctors and care providers basically do one-size-fits-all medicine. And this is what we're trying to get rid of by doing this All of Us research study and creating data that allows medicine and health and treatment and prevention to be customized or individualized for you based on the really three big elements: your sort of lifestyle, you know, the places that you've lived, you know, your behavior, are you a big exerciser, how do you eat, your environment, you know, have you lived in an environment of enormous stress all your life? Have you lived in a part of the country that has more smog than others, and what's that impact been? And then your genetics and your biology. What's going on with your own body? What's your health history, for one thing, but also what's your genetic makeup, and how is that going to actually impact or potentially impact your future health? Today, we don't really have the ability to pull in data from this, this, and this, and understand it at a scientific level, and we don't have the capabilities of doing this for you as an individual. So precision medicine is really about individualizing treatment, prevention, and care for you based on these kinds of complex factors. And we think it's going to have a powerful impact on keeping people healthy in the first place, or helping to find cures for an individual, because we're all unique.
All of Us seeks to transform the relationship between researchers and participants, bringing them together as partners to inform the program's directions, goals, and responsible return of research information. These efforts include building trust among populations historically underrepresented in research. Participants will be able to access their own health information, summary data about the entire participant community, and information about studies and findings that come from All of Us. Building a diverse participant community will be vital in the success of All of Us, so we can address the many pressing health conditions that disproportionately affect underrepresented communities. The Chief Engagement Officer, Dr. Dara Richardson-Heron, says that the All of Us research program has the potential to help researchers better understand and begin chipping away at health disparities so that everyone can benefit from better health, better health care, and exciting new breakthroughs. Now, participants, again, like me, I've already had the chance to go through this process. We were asked to share different types of health and lifestyle information, including online surveys and data from electronic healthcare records. I elected to include my digital healthcare records in my particular profile. You can do that yourself or opt out of it, but this, the electronic healthcare records, will continue to be collected by the All of Us research team over the course of the program, which is designed to be 10 years long. Well, what about protecting privacy? The privacy of DNA databases made headlines all this month when investigators used a free genealogy website to track down a suspected California serial killer. That's pretty different than the security under which medical DNA must be handled. NIH said it has taken many steps, and as many as possible, to safeguard against would-be attackers. My own particular medical data is stripped of any identifying information, yours will be too, and replaced with a simple code. Only scientists meeting specific security requirements will be cleared to study that data. NIH also says that federal certificates of confidentiality prohibit disclosure to law enforcement. So I asked Dr. Dishman about the security and protecting participants' privacy, their data, and their information.
I was having a great conversation not so long ago with a lot of the frontline staff of the more than 125 clinics that are out there actively engaging with and enrolling participants in our protocol. And they said, our top question that we get from people, or certainly top three, is what's going on with security? What are you doing to secure our data? I want you to know that this is one of our biggest concerns and our top priority, to make sure that we safeguard your data and maintain positive trust with you and the systems that we're using to interact with you. If we lose that, then we have the potential of losing the whole program. So the first thing that we're doing is making sure that we're putting all of that data into a secure, what they call the cloud. You've probably seen commercials about this these days. Stored in an environment like all the other banks and high-tech systems, so that we're getting the latest and greatest, you know, virus updates and security updates. This is not about putting some set of servers on the NIH campus in Bethesda. You want to use these commercial systems that are being constantly improved as the hackers get better at hacking into things. We also go through a process called FISMA, F-I-S-M-A. I cannot remember what the acronym stands for, and if you want to get to sleep easily tonight, you can start reading about the FISMA process online. And this is a process that's making sure that we're using best practices in security, and that we have our own security procedures and protocols in place, and that we're following those rules that we've actually set for ourselves. That includes also making sure that we're holding all of our partners accountable to security at the same level that we are in all of their systems that may be sharing or sending any data around. This process involves constant testing. In fact, we just finished a hackathon with a company called HackerOne a couple of weeks ago that was a great method, where they're bringing good person hackers who are experts at hacking but are not going to go do bad things with it to test and attack our systems as much as they can. And they get what's called a bounty, right? They get paid based on finding these holes in our systems that we can then go fix. That's a great method to just let the hackers have at it and then go work to actually reduce any of those vulnerabilities that you have.
At the end of the day, what happens is my chief information security officer, who is an expert in cybersecurity and who is reaching out to industry and government experts to making sure we're doing everything that we can, we go through a process that they bring called Authority to Operate, or ATO. And ultimately, I, along with the chief information officer of NIH, sign off on that. And it also is not just a one-time thing. It's saying these are the ongoing testing and things that you're going to do to make sure you haven't had a security breach. And God forbid we actually end up having one. There's no such thing as a 100% guarantee. If a company or an organization is promising that your data can never be hacked, then they're not being direct and transparent and completely honest with you. In spite of all these great measures, we would say it could happen. And if it does, we have clear procedures for very quickly, very plain language, and very transparently telling you exactly what happened, what how you might be affected, and what we would need to do going forward.
Most of today's medical care is based on what happened to the average person in short studies of a few hundred or thousand patients with a specific health condition or conditions. And most people who volunteer for those studies are white, leaving questions about the best care for people of different races. This one-size-fits-all is far from the optimal strategy. Enrollment for all of us will begin in a big way on Sunday, May 6th, but you can learn about it now by going to joinallofus.org. So if you're inclined, join me, join all of us at joinallofus.org. You can opt out at any time, but check it out. My thanks to all of our guests today, and especially to the team at National Institutes of Health. Links to NIH's joinallofus.org website, along with a link to where you can find out information about the launch, will be all over our website. As usual, we will post links to everything. And also, as usual, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable, and I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me. I am always interested in your feedback, and you can leave that at iTunes, Google Play, or send me email at info@notold-better.com. Check out our next show, another great one, as we talk about better, the Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody.